There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have the director and producer of this really good documentary. I just watched it yesterday. It's called Finding Courage. Her name is Kay Rubicek, and she works for Swoop Films. And it's about the re-education camps in China and what they're doing. This specific family, and it's their story, how in 1999 and for the last two decades, they've been fighting their situation, trying to get their sister's body back from the morgue. And it's this whole story about how they are put into a re-education camp. Their brother was in there for a long time, and the torture and the starvation and why they're doing this. This is about the Falun Gong, but this story, we also talk about the current persecution that's going on with the Muslims in the Uyghur community, and how communism does this and why they do it and what the mindset is. And then the even more important, well, that's super important, obviously, but even more important, the parallels that we're seeing today in our country and with this virus and these governors and all this crap that we're seeing, how it is the rise of socialism and communism, and how the doctrine of communism is a start with socialism, and that's the goal of socialism, is to make it to communism. And we talk about all that stuff and the patterns that we're seeing and how that relates to what's going on in China. This is really important. This might be the most important thing going on in our country right now, is to keep this from happening. We talk about how their media is, and it's all controlled, it's a one source media, and how their propaganda includes atheism. People should be atheists. It's a godless society, and why it is and how it needs to be. It's pretty eye-opening for people who are not used to or aren't knowledgeable about. I mean, I learned a lot from this interview as far as how they think, because it doesn't make sense. It's completely different. Growing up in our culture, growing up in a Christian faith environment where you value other human beings, it's just different, and it's hard to get our head wrapped around it, and we're naive. Because of that, we are naive, and it's time for us to stop being naive, because the consequences and the stakes are so high, and we need to understand what we're getting ourselves into, or what is marching into our country. And these people that think that socialism is this panacea, they need to get out of their little naive bubble and realize what they're part of. And I think this is so important. And so I hope you will share this interview with others, and her film that's coming out. I hope you'll get on the mailing list. Go to swoopsfilms.com. I'll have the link below to get onto the mailing list, because of the coronavirus, the theaters are shut down, the film festivals are shut down. They were planning on releasing out the theaters, and now they are stuck in this situation where they're not sure what they're going to do. The more people that get on their mailing list and throw interest on this, the more likelihood that they're going to have a bigger presence. I think it's always that way, the more people that show interest. And supporting my show, patrons, I appreciate it so much. I'm thinking, or the goal for patrons is to get more value than you're paying for it through exclusive coupons and discounts and journalism that I, extra stuff I do. And you can get those coupons, patrons can get those coupons. I also have coupons for my regular listeners to get discounts on at my shop for these amazing products like the C60 gel caps to build up your immunities. I also have C60 face cream and body lotion and all organic amazing stuff. So you can get that at my site. It keeps your skin looking very young. And so I love it. You can get that at sarahwestall.com/shop. So let's get into this important interview with Kay Rubicek. Hi, Kay. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Sarah. It's great to be here.
You have produced and directed an amazing documentary called Finding Courage, and it's about a family who got swept up into this horrible situation when the Communist Party of China decided they're going to persecute members of the Falun Gong community. And it's their story of being put in concentration camps and what all that was about. And you have members of the Communist Chinese Party that are speaking in this documentary. It really gets to the heart of some of the, it's very gruesome at points. What made you decide to do this movie, and, you know, what is the importance of it to you?
We did this film called Hard to Believe. That was the last movie we made at Swoop Films. And we met the main protagonist, the lady in this movie, Finding Courage, while making that film, Hard to Believe. So it's kind of like each of our films so far is one has led on to the next. And so it's kind of an organic progression. And it also has made it easier for us to get access to these types of Chinese communist insiders, these regime officials who are not necessarily willing to just talk to anybody, or you need to get their trust before they're willing to go on camera. So it has been really helpful that we've done these past movies, and each one leading to the next has, when we started this story, we really just wanted to do a short, small profile of the main character. She had such an amazing story. But as we dug deeper, we were able to get access to undercover footage filmed in a labor camp in China. We got access to these former Chinese regime officials, and we just realized this is not a short film. And we had to expand and expand until it became this feature length documentary. But we felt the story was big enough to hold it, even though it's just about this one woman and her family. As you said, it touches upon this really, really big issue, but from a small perspective, from one person's really how they've been impacted on the ground level here in the US. So it's pretty, we found that really interesting. And that really was a driver to make this story happen, was that we started just to tell this story of this small story of this woman who we interviewed in our last movie and thought she had a very interesting story. And then it just grew and grew and grew, where we had no choice but to make it into a feature. And we just had to make it happen because we felt it was a really important story to tell, and that through her we could actually cover a whole broader range of issues, not just what's going on in China, but how that is affecting people outside of China. And that's what I found personally very interesting, and that certainly helped to drive me forward to make sure we finished this film and got it out.
Well, it's powerful because it brings it close to home. Because when you hear things that's broad and sweeping, you might not be able to personalize it and understand how effective it is and how much it hurts people. And there's clips in here that is just heartbreaking. The clip that I'm thinking of, there's many of them, but one of them it really clearly shows that this is on the level of Nazi Germany. You know, the clip with the starving people. Now, is that pretty common? Was it widespread, this starvation situation that they put these people through?
保外就是他们饥饱，说人不行了，赶紧给家送回去，到家很快就死掉了，说惨无人道，都很难往回。
It's really hard to compare something to Nazi Germany and to talk about the Holocaust in comparison. So I'm not going to draw those parallels there. But it has been all the conditions for genocide are there. And this is a group of Chinese people that have been systematically eradicated. When you think about that term eradicated, that is a communist term that is used to wipe out a liquidate, eradicate. This is a term that's common within from communism, whether that turns into, whether it's Nazism or socialism or other forms that it may take. We have seen genocide in other countries, and it's brutal. And in China, this particular, it's been called a cold genocide because it's been going on for 20 years. So that's a long time. And yes, starvation is one method. A common method that they use, but torture is very common. Starvation is sometimes used where the victims are trying to say we are innocent, and they choose to go on a hunger strike. So then they are put into under those conditions. Other times, like one of the characters in the movie, their form of protest, the only way to protest once they were in the slave labor camps, once they were in the prison system, their only form of protest, you know, they basically had a choice. You work until you die, or you are let out, or you're incapable to move anymore, or how can you protest? They protest with their lives, and they're still doing this now. They protest saying, I am not going to eat until you let me out or give me human conditions. And that happened to one of the characters in the movie, and that is symptomatic. It is very widespread, to answer your question. It is very widespread, and these people that come out completely emaciated. We interviewed so many witnesses for this movie. Many didn't make it into the movie, but it was essential for us to do the solid research to verify every single point that we have put into this film, because it's sensitive. It's politically sensitive. And we want to make sure that we're presenting accurate information. And the cases of these emaciated people is absolutely widespread. And it's devastating. And they're usually released just before they die, so that they do not die in the state's hands in the camp, so that they can be said that the death count doesn't go to the labor camp. The labor camp is not responsible. They're pushed to the brink of death, then released home. Then they die there, and we touch on that in the film, and we see that in other situations with how the regime in China deals with things. They don't want those death numbers on their hands, and that's certainly been the case with Falun Gong practitioners and this severe persecution.
But you know, in some of the cases you were showing people who really were killed at these camps, and it's pretty common. I would assume the way the Chinese Communist Party works is they would hide those numbers anyways, I'm under the impression. And that's what my intel shows, is they aren't really honest with how many people have been killed in those camps.
Absolutely. The notion of truth inside a communist state is absolutely different to the notion of truth in the free world. And growing up in the free world myself, it's really been a challenge for me to understand this concept. I'm still coming to grips with it, but I have had to come to grips with this. My family escaped the former Soviet Union, my grandparents and great-grandparents. They escaped to China. My father had to escape China when the communists came into power there as well. My husband had to escape communism in the former Czechoslovakia. I feel some family connection. I myself spent a day in a Chinese prison cell. So I feel an obligation in myself, but I also feel that I have to try and understand that mentality of how can they lie about these numbers? How can they lie about what's going on? And it's just that they see truth in a very different way. And to them, it's absolutely fine. To lie about numbers is not a problem. It's intrinsic to the system. And for us, it's like, how can you lie about that? And for them, it's like, what are you talking about? We don't have to tell you anything.
Do they know that they're not telling the truth, but it's not relevant because it's none of your business? Is that how they believe? Or, I mean, I don't understand. Is there anything you can lighten us a little bit? Because it's so obvious they're lying. I mean, is it just they just don't believe it's your business? Is that what it is?
Well, I think it works at different levels. So they are responsible to the state, and everything comes back to the state. The Communist Party is the ultimate, and everyone is responsible to the Communist Party. I mean, we've seen this in Soviet Union. It's a similar system in China. Of course, they've got their own characteristics, but essentially, the state is number one, and what the state says goes. If the state says you have to eradicate this group of people, you have to do it. If the state says don't report deaths, if there's a death counted as suicide, they have to do that. Otherwise, their job is on the line. So that goes down level by level by level. And we've seen so many cases in this particular case of Falun Gong practitioners in this persecution. There's official documents that have stated where deaths need to be counted in a certain way. There was a quote from the former Chinese dictator Jiang Zemin, who actually initiated this particular persecution, and he said that their deaths can be counted as suicide. Falun Gong practitioner deaths can be counted as suicide. So that way, and it's not that the people on the ground are saying, they have to fill in the paperwork. They have to fill in the paperwork. They've grown up in this system of propaganda, of knowing that what they're being told may or may not be true. They've seen people who try to speak the truth be arrested time and time again. Not just arrested, disappeared, worse, killed. They see that happening again and again. So over time, this is a memory. This is a culture that's been produced by the Communist Party. It is throughout China. And so it's not unusual or uncommon for people to lie because they are following orders. They have to do that. Otherwise, their job really is on the line.
Well, one thing that I noticed is, well, since 1999, when they established this doctrine to eradicate, there's like 100 million people that followed this. So it's crazy. But yeah, they did a unified press. They changed on a dime because they used to support the Falun Gong because it was a healthier lifestyle. And then on a dime, they did this unified press of how bad it is. And I'd like to play a clip of that.
On state-run television, the government has justified its crackdown,
repeating the same message over and over.
Newspapers, radio, TV were all in sync. They were full of slanderous reports. They utilized the whole society for the suppression.
There's a couple things that is scary here. And, you know, what's important for people to realize is we're starting to see these patterns here in the United States of this unified press narrative that doesn't make sense, right? I mean, I'm sure that the Chinese people were like, well, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. These people are healthier. They're not doing anything wrong. These things don't make sense. But there was this unified approach saying that, and one of the clips that really struck me was follow atheism and follow communism, as if communism is the new God that you should follow. Is that kind of what you're saying here. People look, they don't, they can't, there isn't much, they don't follow a religion or something that makes their life healthy, so they follow communism and they promote atheism.
Yeah. You summed it up pretty well. If you look at the religions that are allowed to exist in China, they must have Chinese Communist Party elements present within them. They must have representatives of the party within them. Ultimately, the party is still above God for those religions. And for different spiritual practices, for religions, if you look at what happens with the house Christians in China, they refused to have the Chinese Communist Party be above their God, who they believe in. And for that, they are severely persecuted because they are not falling within, they are not willing to be, have their religion controlled by the state. For Falun Gong, it's a different situation because they don't have that sort of hierarchy. They don't have churches or places of worship. Everyone can just meditate at home or in the park or wherever. There isn't that. That made it even more difficult for people for the Communist Party to destroy this type of network because it was really very far-reaching, but also unorganized in some ways, but also very disorganized in other ways. We found so it's really, the Communist Party, essentially, when we talk about faith, yes, if you look at a communist state, atheism is an essential part of communism. Yes, absolutely, it follows Marxism, Leninism, and that requires atheism. So for Chinese people to see that type of propaganda news is not uncommon. Do they like it? People have told us we ignore it or we're just used to it. One of our interviewees said, this is what we've grown up with all our lives, Kay. This is what we know. We're just used to it. So it's a very different world. That's what I found. It's such a different world.
Well, when I was there, I noticed a lot of beautiful people in China. I was just there in January. And, there's so many beautiful things about the country. A lot of great people, a lot of smiling faces. They're very nice to us. But I did notice an innocence. It almost felt like it was back in the 70s and 80s when I grew up. The innocence. Before we had social media and things. And, you know, we couldn't get to our social media. We were completely blocked out. And we were censored in a way, not because we didn't have that interaction with the media we have now. And they're like stuck in that, they just are in a bubble. It seems like they're very innocent. Is that a good way of representing kind of the average person?
Well, I totally agree with you that China is such a beautiful place. The people are beautiful. The Chinese regime and the country and the people of China are not the same thing, in my opinion, though the regime will tell you something else. And there'll be people who will say that if you say anything negative or critical at all of the Chinese Communist Party, then you are being anti-China. But that's like criticizing any one particular political party and saying that you hate the country. But that's the mentality over there is that's what they're drilled in with it. But that bubble is there is a bubble and people are used to that. And I think in a sense, yeah, they know what they're told and they are allowed. They allowed to do so many things. And that's where people will say to me, oh, China's great. I've been there and I had access to all these things. It's fantastic. And that's great. If you step outside that system, that's when you feel the bubble. When you're in the bubble, you may not feel the bubble, and you may get used to the bubble if you stay there longer, and that's just fine. But when it comes down to this side of things of killing people, and I've interviewed Chinese people on the street who are visiting here from China, and I've asked them if they know about these crimes, these genocides, and his, things going on in China. And they've said, we don't want to know about the dark side of China. We don't want to talk about that. We don't need to know. So for them, that is that bubble. They know if they go there, they are putting themselves at risk. And they're in high risk because that social media bubble is, I don't know what it was like for you when you were in China, but generally people in China have to be connected. They have to have a phone. They have to be connected to certain apps that require them to that do a health check for them. So they have to show that, like right now, they have to show that to, in some places, they have to show that app that shows their personal health check at that time to a supermarket before they're allowed to go inside. They are required that they don't really use cash now because all the payments are done online. This makes it a lot easier for the regime to keep data on everybody and know how to use it, track exactly where they are, make sure they can monitor everybody's facial expressions, their heat expression, their heat emissions, their health emissions. They're able to, they have the technology to be able to check people's emotions while they're walking down the street from their cameras. I don't know if that's being done in all cities, but it is being done in some. Yeah, they're capable of doing that. So they use this bubble to, you know, to say to protect and to protect the citizens. And that's something that happened in Nazi Germany. That was something that Hitler said, is that they're doing this to protect the citizens. This is for your safety. These types of words are there. So it's said to be done in the protection of the public. But that is also denying the public the access to information. And if the public happen to be a member of a group that the regime wants to eliminate, eradicate, liquidate, which is what the communist societies actually, socialist societies actually require that to achieve communism. That's how that it's a scary bubble. I personally think it's a scary bubble. Some people are fine with that, and that's a difference of opinion, I guess.
Well, I'm not fine with that. I mean, I think it's extremely unethical to murder and mass genocide. And so that's why I pointed it out. But we're seeing those patterns today when we're doing this for the benefit of the public. Meanwhile, you know, with this coronavirus thing, we're doing this for the benefit of the public. Meanwhile, there's this biblical bankruptcies coming down the pike and millions of people are losing their ability, their livelihoods, and you know, for a small subset of people, we need to hurt all these people, but we're doing it for the benefit of the whole. You know, those kind of comments are communistic comments. And the dictator level of our governors just saying, this is what we're doing, and hell with the Constitution and all these other things. And then people actually going, okay, that's a communistic behavior. That's not how we're supposed, I mean, that's not our government. And so now we're starting to see a lot of fighting back, but we're in the middle of this. We have most of our media is supporting that narrative and pumping out this propaganda of how you're supposed to be. And they're shutting us down like you would a communist country. It's very scary when you can see that pattern. That's why what you're doing is so important. It's such good timing because, yeah, the Falun Gong story has been out there for a while. It's still going on today, but that pattern we're starting to see here, and people need to understand what this means. Are people in your film, when you were filming, did you all talk about this pattern that we're seeing here in the United States?
Yes, with the people we're filming and people that we're talking to who have seen the movie, people are making those connections. I think that's so important. For people that have come from China, they've been taught to see the US as an enemy. And when they come here, they often want to stay here. But there's that really shocked me when I really tried to understand why they see the US as an enemy. The Constitution, free market, free will, free world. It is exactly in the
valuing the individual.
Valuing the individual. Absolutely. It is in the way of achieving communism. So it is really, it's scary to look at China as an example, but I think it is so important that we look at China as an example because they have decades of practice on socialism in heading towards achieving a communist state. And I read many, many, many communist documents. I studied the Chinese Constitution. I studied Chinese Communist Party documents to try and understand what they're doing. And they are still, there's a very long-term goal that started with the Soviets, and it's continuing with the Chinese, and it's probably continuing in other places as well. We're seeing these patterns here. Absolutely. Absolutely are these things being reflected here now. And it's, we really should look at China as an example of where we don't want to be and what has worked. It has worked to stand up for our values. It has worked to offer support for fellow individuals to support each other and not just say okay to the state, because once we do that, ultimately communism wants you to give up, they want to abolish private property. Once they can do that, then you really are a subject of the state, and you are able to you're at their mercy, and oh, it's really scary when you go into the and people may say, well, you know, that's all pre-Cold War type things, that's all Cold War stuff. But if you look at the Chinese Party, the Chinese Communist Party documents, it's not. They're very much trying to achieve communism. They're very much practicing socialism. And when you see how they eradicate a group of people every 10 years or so. We're talking millions of people over this last 50 years or more. They are carrying it out far too well. We really should be looking at that, because if that expands elsewhere, if we start to accept communism, then we're really undermining everything that all of our forefathers have fought for, the freedoms that we value so much. If we allow them to be undermined, then we really are accepting communism, and it's a scary thing. I think it's a scary thing. It's very important to look at China as an example, because they're right there now, and that certainly did influence us in wanting to make this movie.
Has there ever been a communist regime that has taken control of any country where there hasn't come with mass genocide?